Okay. Call the common council meeting to order, March 13th, 7 p.m., 7:15 p.m. now, 7:20 p.m. Let's rise, say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Leegold.
Here.
Lori.
Here.
Romine.
Here.
Penrod.
Here.
Simpson.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from the last common council meeting on February 28th. Were there any changes or amendments to the minutes? Hearing none, can I have a motion?
Make a motion to approve all that's read.
Second.
Motioned by Ben, seconded by Dan. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign.
Abstain. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I wasn't here.
Okay. Approved by Bill and Ben and Dan. Jackie and Nicole abstained because they were not present at the last meeting. Any ordinances or resolutions need to be addressed tonight? No. Committee reports. We haven't met since the parking committee has not met since the last time, have we?
No, we had okay. Some scheduling issues and was unable to meet at our last meeting, so we've scheduled it for tomorrow.
I think that sounds right. And we have gotten in. have I? I haven't forwarded those to you yet, have I? Okay, I'll have to do that next. We've gotten in responses from downtown business owners that the parking committee will be taking under advisement in regards to where, if there's a problem in downtown parking, and if so, what the problem is, how do we solve it? Fees for parking violations, things like that. So I will email the rest of the members that those responses. Okay, let's, before we do department reports, let's talk about limb pickup, and we'll pick up where we, pardon the pun, we'll pick up where we left off, and, so basically, for those of you sports fans that weren't here, while we were having a discussion, the Board of Works basically laid it back on the council to, kind of make a decision, based on the individuals that you are living in your districts and representing your districts, basically passed over the authority to you to make a decision of how we should go forward with limb pickup. So with that, Kelly, do you want to discuss what the past situation was and versus what you'd like to do and cost savings and that kind of stuff?
Well, at one time, I think it might have been back in 2000, it was passed that we went to curbside pickup only out of the alleys. And we did that for, I think it was 4 years, and for whatever reason, I'm not real sure what got moved back into the alleys. My department, as one of our department meetings, brought this up and wanted to know if I could pursue getting it back at curbside pickup, and they had several reasons of good points and bad points and exceptions and things like that. So I posed it as the hard question at the retreat. We had discussion about it and felt like that we would give it a try to, you know, to bring it back out to curbside pickup only because of cost savings.
Can you give a brief overview of the cost savings, the problems that there is with alley pickup? And
some of the just to go through some of the pros, if I can remember off the top of my head, were cutting 1 to 2 days out of the pickup per month and cutting out 15 miles of alleys that we wouldn't have to run, and fuel savings by that aspect. Some of the maintenance issues with debris being put into piles and hid in the alleys, stones that get in and dull the knives, things like that. I guess, duplicated pickups. Some people that have streets, curb, or alleys on the side, and I mean, there's some house that we could be picking up three different piles. This would maybe just have one pile at those, which would speed up the process some too. We could devote more, you know, the time we save towards in-house projects that we're trying to do to help save money on that end too. I guess the con side was we thought that the residents may have to drag the limbs a little farther than they did before. Another pro, I guess, is we wouldn't be cutting the program out. We'd still be providing the service, it just maybe at a more efficient way.
What's the mileage you're going to be cutting? You know, if we go to curbside pickup, what's the mileage that you guys are going to save in travel, if you will, especially in times of high gas prices? I mean, there's, what, 15 miles of alley?
Yeah, that's what we have estimated. It's 15 miles.
And how many times, roughly, do you go throughout the city? Is it once a month? Is it twice a month? Or
it's once a month.
Once a month,
yeah,
so.
For seven, let's see, up to October. Starts in April, and we go to October, and then a lot of times we end up going into November, too, because for whatever reason, people are still putting stuff on the leaf piles, and so
15 miles times 7 months, roughly, and 7 to 8 months. So, okay, so it'll be a fairly good cost savings, not only with the equipment and rocks getting stuck in the equipment, but and blade issues and all those things like that, but also the manpower and the gas price and the gas consumption. Obviously, is going to be a tremendous thing, also. So it's a way in which we can be more efficient, and it's obviously worked fine in the past. So
there, you know, exceptions would be storm events where there's significant amount of you know, like wind or whatever pulls it down, ice storms, stuff like that, like the snow we had, the heavy snow in December. We went around and picked stuff up. A lot of times we'll get help from community corrections on that. Other departments will chip in and help too on events like that. But yeah, that's, and some, I guess, residents don't have curbside, and we know where they're at. We'd have to go back in the alleys anyway to get those few that are back in there. So
I think with making cutbacks in fuel, like efficiencies in fuel savings and stuff like that, with other departments, department heads, police, I think to be consistent, I think it's a good idea to just do it now while we're doing like everything else.
I think it's a good idea. How are the consumers notified now of the dates of the limb pickups?
I put it on the utility bills, and then it's published in the newspaper.
So, and you can't, there's no room to put curbside only?
Well, I told him I was going to go ahead and try and put it on there. I don't know how much. There isn't a lot of room, but okay. I'm going to try and get it on there the week, just the week, you know, as short as I can, and
right.
Curbside only. But I was just wondering if maybe, you know, if they spot check these alleys or say the police are driving around, that there we have a form letter that we could just, okay, this address needs a letter, that they can make a note, we can send them a letter, or if they are doing the alley, they're dropping, putting them out.
Would that be burdensome or not?
Or for the police?
Well, I'm just saying,
if anybody
for if,
for whoever,
you know, police or for the street department, what?
Whoever's driving around.
Yeah.
Well, what I thought is if this is passed or whatever accepted, I would go through all the alleys right now and get what's out there right now and clean that up going into the first pickup on April. So we need to notify everyone that we're going through to clean up what you have there now left from the winter or last fall or whatever. But starting April 1st, it's curbside only. And I guess I need some help figuring out how to get that to the public. But
and it's too late to get on the utility bills for April.
Oh, okay.
Because they don't get them until like the 5th. And
right.
I already put it on the utility bills this month that it starts in April, but I didn't put dates because we haven't decided.
Well, if you're going to pick up in alleys, can't can you jot down addresses like Rosie said and just of where they have them in the alleys?
Well, I think everyone that has alley access needs to be notified because they might not have...
Can you identify just homeowners on the alleys so we're not doing a mass mailing?
Can you?
Yeah.
GIS.
Yeah, I can.
No. I can take a map and try and figure it out, but that's...
It's possible.
You don't have an intern that could do that?
No.
if we put it on the utility bill and we do something in the paper saying that, you know, this is the change that we've decided to make, I mean, short of hiring a hot air balloon, I don't know what else you can do.
If people call in, we'll tell them, sorry, it's got to be out the curb, and they can carry it out the curb or we'll pick it up that one.
And we can also post it on the website and on Facebook.
Yeah.
That's not a problem. I think you're right. Getting the message out there is really important. As Bill says, spitballing here, what's the percentage of our population that has alleys? I mean, are we talking 75% or are we talking 25%? I mean, I guess it'd be more like 65%+, right?
That's what I
So if we were to do a mailing, it would be fairly costly, would it not?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking through the utility bills, through hopefully our friends at the Post and Mail, we can probably put some kind of a press release out to the talk of the town also, and use Facebook and our website. I think that's a lot of different sources that people can get information from. I think that's proper notification myself, but that's me, and I'm of a different age than everybody, than a lot of members of our community. So.
So the, like on Line Street where you've got some steep inclines, would you still pick up those on the alley? Because if they put it out by the curb, it's going to be on the sidewalk.
No, if they have street access, we wouldn't be in the alley. I mean, if they have curb access.
So typically, do those limbs get put on the sidewalk?
I don't. I guess they don't have to. I mean, it depends how they stack it, But, yeah, I understand what you're saying, Ben. But it states in there, do not put it out in the street or on the sidewalk. But, if they have curb access, street access, we would not go.
Do you consider Legion Drive an alley or a street?
Legion Drive is something we would pick up.
Well, the reason I ask is we put our limbs out there a lot of times if we have a lot of them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're in the street.
It's our street up to, I mean, that's a whole other
issue.
We got another hard question outbreak here. But, yeah, we would travel that from Oak Street to where you go into the Legion, I guess.
Okay.
Kelly, if somebody wanted to pick up a limb and take them somewhere, do you offer a place for them to take it?
No.
Okay. Anything bad there?
We pick them up and we grind it into the truck as we travel around. And there was where the Humane Society is right now, that used to be a spot where we would dump chips and people would throw all kinds of stuff in there. And after you chipped the whole town, we'd go in there for like a half a day and just set in one spot and chip, and it was just miserable. I mean, it was tangled, and that was the worst thing ever. I mean,
I would guess that would open up the possibility to individuals who aren't in our city to using city services again for
exactly.
Yeah, for no cost. Okay. So
do we need a vote? A motion and all that?
Well,
is it a consensus?
I think basically Kelly just wants some direction. So I don't think there needs to be an official vote, but I would say that that if it is the consensus of the Common Council to have him switch from alley pickup to curbside pickup, then probably having a yes or no from everyone would be helpful.
Change of policy.
I'd say switch.
Say what?
Switch.
Switch?
Mm-hmm. I think this is a great example of how that hard question thing, worked out with a difficult problem.
Yep.
Was researched well, is going to save the city some money. I don't see really a downside. I say switch.
Great. Ben?
Okay with that.
Okay. Dan?
I agree.
Jackie? I agree.
Sounds like you got your sense.
I appreciate everybody's support on that, too. My department heads and, you know, and everybody was in our group and all you folks, too. I appreciate it.
Oh
yeah.
That we're saving some
yes.
money.
and I'm sure that any kind of public information type thing, I'm sure James would be more than willing to help you out with that, Kelly. Right, James?
We'll have it in tomorrow.
We have the dates. I have the dates in line and the wording that needs to be put in the program guidelines and things. So it's in place since this happened, then we can move forward. So.
Yep. Very good. Thank you, Kelly. Okay, very good. Any other pressing issues? I was going to bring up Bill, but I'll let you bring it up in your time. So.
I have a question before department reports. Ben and I were talking. Can you kind of fill us in on what happens now with the, since we had the hearing over the water rate?
The water rate, okay, yeah. Basically from here, and Rosie, jump in if I'm saying anything wrong here. Basically what happens here after the water rate hearing is... the OUCC will continue to get those responses, if you will, and then the IURC, and I think it's the IURC and us, or is the OUCC and us? One of those two agencies and ourselves, we, and it's the city, we sit down and we negotiate, okay, well, you know, at what rate really should we raise it at? You know, what point should we go to? After... that negotiation, that mediation, if you will, there will be a settlement between the city and the IURC as to here's the rate increase that actually is going to happen. And then from there, I think it comes back for a final vote to the council, I'm assuming?
Yeah, an ordinance. The OUCC is kind of watch and protects the customers, and they're the ones that will give a recommendation to the IURC.
So it's not the IURC is going to say this is what we'll allow.
Right, they're the ones with the final decision.
Okay. But it still has to pass us.
But then it has to come back
right.
here.
Right.
And we can determine how, if they're going to allow it, we can determine how close we want to come to that and how we want to do it. As far as all at once.
Because there was multiple options on the table, if I remember correctly. One was a 15-year and one was a 20-year bond, right?
Correct. The only thing you can't, I don't think, can do now is change, okay, let's do it this month, and then 6 months down the road do another one or 2 years.
Okay.
Because the revenue that Mike needs is all figured in that one time.
So because the way we asked for it to begin with, it's an all now or nothing?
Right.
Okay.
Unless we go back and redo the whole thing.
And that's one thing that's really important for individuals, for residents to understand is it's very difficult to do a phased-in rate increase because of the fact that the IURC is involved in the rate structure that we have, and we have to go through this whole process and the mediation and the, you know, those kind of things. Whereas opposite side of that, it would be wastewater fees that the IURC doesn't have jurisdiction over, and so we can phase in fees. Fee increases with the wastewater, and it's a heck of a lot easier to do it in phased in for things like that than what it would be for water.
Not to say we're planning to do that.
Right, that's true. We are not planning on doing that. That is not in the back of our brains.
And our last water rate increase was phased in.
Good point.
Over a period of, I think it was 3 years, right, Mike?
Yeah.
I can't remember. And then at the end we had to do a true up to see how our revenues were, but based off of what we thought they were going to be, and it's time consuming and expensive.
Yes, it's very. That's the one I think a very key point to take away is that this process has been very, very expensive in regards to how much information we've had to go back and forth for the IURC. And all the different, I mean, the fees for our, it's Buzz's official, yeah, account, thank you, our water account, I guess, if you will, have been pretty good. So long story short is that, you know, that the less time we spend on water rate increases, probably the more money we get to save. So that's probably all I need to say about that. Okay. Department head reports. We'll start with Terry this time.
Well, I've been working out the MSF, moving data off Deb Zigrath's computer to Angie Hildebrand's because she's taken over some of her duties since she's retired. Also installed a new printer out there, installed some new brackets in dispatch, and moved two new monitors to the brackets, and also replaced an auto leveler at dispatch one, which regulates the dispatch consoles raising up and down. Our weather satellite receiver died last week, so we ordered a new one, got it in, installed it in the new computer that we had set up for it, and come to find out it won't work with 64-bit Windows 7, so I'm going to have to rebuild that computer back to 32-bit so the weather satellite will work. I've been working with SDS Communications and hope to have the camera up and running at the bathrooms on the trailhead tomorrow.
Any further questions of Terry? Thank you, Terry. Kelly?
The leaf pile at the back of the park was ground up last week. Mark, I didn't ask you, but is there anything going on April 14th? Because that was when I was going to have the loader back there. Usually I check with him to make sure there isn't an event going on at the back of the park.
Okay.
So that date, James, I guess, will have a representative from the city back at the park April 14th on a Saturday, if that is a Saturday, I think it is, from 8 to noon, or unless the pile runs out for the giveaway. We are replacing concrete sidewalk around the restrooms down at the cemetery. They were in bad shape and broken up, and got the guys out doing that, dug them out yesterday and poured it today, and doing some next week we'll be doing the cleanup of the cemetery for all the flowers and things, getting ready for the mowing season to start, so we'll be down there probably most of the week next week. Raised a catch basin up in an alley behind the church between Jefferson and Jackson that was low, and rain sweeper a few days last week, and want to continue to do that as much as we can. And we've had the jet machine out starting to clean catch basins and inlets out. just to give you a number, we got roughly 350 catch basins to clean and 200 inlets. It takes quite a while to get through all those. And then we had a sewer tap inspection out at Lincoln Point. We've been hauling wood chips away from the MSF to get the pile knocked down going into limb pickup season, and fixed a small section of curb that was a safety issue on Washington Street, or we're in the process of fixing it, and cleaning up the whole parking lot down by the tennis courts where we dump snow. And we have 31 work orders that we completed last week. That's all I have.
This may be a dumb question, but when you talk about work orders, what specifically are you referring to?
We get these sent to our facility from City Hall. People that want to plant a tree, anything from that to someone digging up and doing a sewer repair to whatever it is, any type of digging you're doing. The utilities, Larry, Mike, and myself were contacted to go out and mark our utility lines so they don't hit them, and that would be a work order generated for that. That's just one thing. I mean, it can be very variable on a variety of things, I guess, but that's the common one there.
Does that help? Call before you move.
I didn't know if those people calling in the potholes filled.
No, it's, I mean, it can be a sign knocked down, you know, it's just things that we get from City Hall.
The sidewalks you're doing at the cemetery, your guys doing that themselves?
Yes.
That saves us money, doesn't it?
Yes. It's just around the shed area. I mean, there's restrooms in there for. and then there's a little walkway to go to people that want to fill up water jugs to put on their graves or whatever, flowers on the graves, and they were in bad shape, the sidewalk, so it's been something we've talked about for a few years and just decided to go ahead and do it.
Additional questions for Kelly? Thank you, Kelly. Mike?
We replaced a valve that wasn't working up at Oak and North Street, and we're going to be up there moving the fire hydrant probably at first of next week also up there. We're taking out about 300 feet of 4-inch main that's not really needed, switching everything over to 6-inch main. We ran a new service line for 402 North Oak, and then we also put in a new meter setting out in Lincoln Point. We've done 20 locates, 16 reconnects, and 13 disconnects. Some of those were from shutoff day. I think we actually had 11 of them on shutoff day to shut off and turn back on that day. And then we replaced 16 meters and four different places. We had to put new fittings in the meter pit to actually get the water to shut off before we could change out the meter. And then everything at the plant's running good this week, so no problems.
Additional questions? Thanks, Mike. Larry?
We finally finished a tree at Wright Park, which was a real challenge for my guys. Had a real good response from the public going down there and cutting up some of the smaller pieces that they could handle, so that helped us out somewhat too. Then we also took a tree down at Baker Park. We changed two poles on 700 North. Of course, we're continuing our stump grinding. Last night we had a strange thing happen. We had an outage at 1 o'clock this morning, matter of fact, it was. Found our problem. It was a metal balloon that got up in our transformer and caused the fuse to blow, so that was a first for us.
Okay.
It was kind of an oddball instead of a squirrel, you know.
This was just a standard Mylar balloon that is a normal.
It was kind of a metalish.
Mylar.
And we repaired some street lights. We had numerous work orders and quite a few locates. We put in a three-phase service this afternoon. Got you covered on Ellsworth Street. And that's about it.
Further questions of Larry? If you have not seen the pictures from Kenneth, from the tree at Kenneth Wright Park, they are pretty incredible. I have some on my phone personally, and it's amazing how rotten the stump of that tree was, but how solid the tree was up top.
Yeah.
Just amazing. I mean, just crumbling your fingers, rotten in the middle. So thank you guys for doing that, Mark, and your guys. I know you guys helped out too, and thanks for that cooperation. Tim.
Both of the detectives completed fighting words training. They went to that last week. It was a week-long training. They're now certified in interviewing children that may be victims or witnesses in lots of crimes. So now they're going to be a part of the sexual assault response team. They'll be working with personnel from prosecutor's office, Department of Children's Services, and other law enforcement agencies. So I'm glad that they're certified and part of that team. And this week we're going to meet with the reserve coordinator, who's Officer Gary Harrod, and we're going to review our reserve policy and see if we need to make any changes to that. And possibly, maybe, it won't be anytime soon, but maybe somewhere down the road, looking at adding a couple of reserves onto our department, possibly. And we're also going to utilize our reserves this summer for some of the, as I call it, major events, things like the Big Mayor's Ride, Old Settlers, 4-H Fair, things like that, and our reserves helping us out with those events. We had four officers attend a training that was put on by the U.S. Department of Education. that class focused on threat assessment and things like that, dealing with school shootings. So that's what you're training that some of our guys went through this year. The captain and I have met with emergency management, with Kathy Broxton Ball, just to kind of introduce ourselves and understand how the EMA process works. And we're going to work with her with some forms that we need to get filled out for incident command for different scenarios that we could possibly have here in town. As of Thursday, we're going to limit the use or restrict the use of our personal patrol vehicles. It'll be to and from work only and no off-duty driving of those vehicles. Because of the rising fuel cost and the uncertainty of what fuel prices may be this summer, I just feel like that's something we need to do to keep ahead of, make sure that we can function within our fuel budget for this year. And next week I'll be out of the office all week attending state-mandated chief school, which is at the Law Enforcement Academy in Plainfield, so that's where I'll be next week. And I'm just real pleased with the job that my guys are doing. I think we're doing well.
The ordinance that authorizes the reserves, do you recall how many reserves are authorized by the ordinance? But my actual question was going to be, is that suitable to meet your needs? But if we don't know, then...
Yeah, I don't know how many reserves we can have as far as our policy. Is that what you're asking me?
Yes, that's... Well, the real question was, do we need to make it so you could have more? That was what I was asking, but...
I don't think we can change any kind of ordinance. I don't believe it.
Okay.
Thank
you. I just wanted to make sure you had what you needed to get done with...
I'll double-check, but I don't believe it.
I wasn't trying to put you on the spot.
No, that's fine.
Trying to make your boss look bad.
Trying to help?
Tim, I have a question. With the police cars being parked, so to speak, if an off-duty officer gets called to on a call, do they bring their own private vehicle, or do they go home and get a police car? And how does that work?
Well, their car should be, if they're off duty, their car should be at their home. So if they get called in.
Right, but I mean, what if they're in Fort Wayne with their personal vehicle?
Yeah, they would have a choice either depending on what the call is and how fast they can get here, on responding here and then taking a car that we have here, a reserve car that we have here in town, or a spare car, or responding to the residents if they've got their own car. Just depending on what the case would be.
But they wouldn't go in their personal vehicle?
No.
Okay. Okay, just a question.
Yeah, they would require one of our city vehicles. It just depends on where they go home or come here first.
Okay.
I don't know who can answer this, but as far as we have fuel tanks out at the maintenance facility, right? I assume the police fills up there too.
Yeah.
What kind of storage capacity do we have there? Very little?
I believe there are 2,000 gallon tanks.
Has there ever been a consideration to increasing that? So, I mean, to control the cost more so, or?
I don't know what the cutoff price would be as far as getting bulk rates. Yeah. I know that Bill was just asking me prior to the council meeting about if we'd ever looked into regional partnerships for purchasing fuel. I know last fall there was consideration. Huntington Refinery is looking at the possibility of what in Huntington, someone in Houston anyway, was looking at the possibility of quoting for this municipal fuel contract here, and it didn't go anywhere. So I talked to our provider, and they were fine with that. They said that they would, as long as it was specified out very concisely what the, you know, the date of quote was, because the fluctuation of fuel prices and the size of our tanks and that kind of thing, they'd be happy to they welcome the competition. So I think that we're getting a fair deal on it. Several years ago, I looked into partnering with the county on their fuel facility, and that was just... There's a lot of issues with that it would take way too long to go into right now, but we decided not to even try to go that direction.
Would it be possible to look into the existence of a area or regional co-op? Could we do that and see if such things exist and if the city could benefit from that?
Yeah, whoever gave you that information, I'd really like to have a contact name if you've got it.
Well, I'll try to get that. But my understanding was that LaGrange County was one of the organizations that was involved in that. Now, I don't know if that was just a co-op within their county or a regional co-op, or the information I got was very sparse. But
if it was through the county, we could contact the commissioner's office and maybe give some leads that way. But sure.
I think it warrants at least looking into if such things exist. That, not to say that we're not getting a good deal now with the cost of our fuel, but we always want to make sure that we're doing the best that we can.
Is that, Mayor, is that something that you want me to
absolutely, that's fine.
Do some calls?
I think we can definitely take a look at a couple of different options, see what's out there, see what other communities are doing. This is the first I've heard of a fuel co-op, but
today was the first day for me too.
But so we can take a look in and do some investigation. Okay. Any other thing from? I think for Tim. I think we're still on Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Just a reminder. I still have one guy going to Fort Wayne for training. He works second shift, and he has to go to Fort Wayne to get his firefighter 1-2. So if you do see the command vehicle back and forth, you'll know, remember why. I do have two firefighters completing their firefighter 1-2. They take their written test this Saturday. They just did their, I can't remember what they call them.
Practicals.
Practicals, thank you. They just took their practicals this past Saturday and did very well. So they should be completing that this weekend. We did put on, tentatively, three new firefighters. Two of them have already been voted on by the department. Another one is recommended by the review board to be put on the department. So that's good news.
Those are volunteers?
Those are volunteers. We've met, the review board has done interviews for a couple nights and brought them in and taken care of that. We've replaced a few tools that we've lost because of the fires we've been on. I told the Board of Works one of the tools was a pipe pole that when the guys on the aerial went to sound the roof at the Kent Theater, evidently did not have a good grip and it went into the building and was lost. Another axe when they popped the door open at the barn fire out at the ranch, the flames blew over their head and they quickly left the area and left the axe with it and it perished. So, yeah, a couple things that just out of
you mean the axe.
But just a few things that kind of went array, and we've had to replace those tools. And those are fairly inexpensive with in comparison to a lot of the tools we have. And I'd rather the guys leave those or drop those and get hurt themselves. Sounding the pipe hole to the roof is exactly what we're trained to do to make sure the roof is sound before you step off onto it, and it obviously was not. So he was doing the right thing. I sent emails out to everybody at last Tuesday's report that showed that some statistics that I found were very interesting. And if you have any questions on those, I'd be more than happy to go over them with you. It was kind of shocking for me to see that when I started reading through that report. So if you have any questions on it, I'll show you the hard copy.
Brief synopsis of that, Tom, was basically that 75%, is it
75%?
71%. Of our runs or just nationally speaking?
71% nationally of all fire departments' runs are medic runs. 21% are actually fire-related runs, either false alarms, fires, tar fires, things like that. And the other 8% fall in the other category, carbon monoxide, things like that, hazmats.
And we're right about that percentage.
We are almost dead center on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy when you put the numbers to it that we fall right in those statistics. So.
And I think that's surprising to a lot of members of the public, is that we spend basically 71% of our runs are on medical things, are not on fire, and that only 20-some percent is fire-related. So,
however, I think it's a benefit to the citizens, especially when they do call for medical care, to get that threat. But it is surprising when you put the numbers to it. On another note, I'd just like to thank Kelly for clarifying why we're putting the sidewalks in the cemetery, because I got to admit, at first, it was a little surprising to me, and I was a little concerned. So I really appreciate him clarifying
the sidewalks. I've been catching a little bit of grief here.
But long haul, we're going to have to send this guy down there a little bit more often.
Is there a show about that, Walking Dead or something? No disrespect to those who were in the cemetery. Any questions of Tom? Thank you, Tom. Jeff?
Last fall, we had a stormwater project connecting water drainage from Grove Park over to Brennan Addition that didn't get done because of late fall, winter conditions. And just talked to the contractor who has the purchase order today, and it looks like they'll be able to accelerate that project this spring since the weather's been so good. So that's good news. Filed a right-of-way application permit last week with the county commissioners so that we can do the water main installation at the area of City Ford, City Chevrolet. I continue to gather information for a potential partnership with the high school on a stormwater project for this summer. I think I've mentioned before that we've got several catch basins in the street on Whitley Street that collect the surface runoff from the streets and tie into the high school private system. So continue to look at that. Mike Cook and I are sitting down tomorrow to finish up. Indiana Finance Authority required survey. That's our friends at IDEM that loan us the money. I want to keep them happy. And then the only other thing I've got tonight is that I will be out Thursday at an annual economic development conference down at the IMP offices at Carmel on Thursday. And I'll be looking into regional fuel programs.
Jeff, do you want to go into a little bit of detail about the economic development agreement in regards to City Ford and the future potential economic development activity?
Sure, last time I did that.
Yeah.
Kind of screwed things. The city is partnering with the County Redevelopment Commission basically for the prospect of economic development potential in the former Thompson Chevrolet area. Mr. McKibben, Doug McKibben from Fort Wayne, and a partner of his are investing several million dollars in improvements out in that area for a Ford retail operation, and then they'll also be, after that's done, working on a remodeling project for the former Thompson Chevrolet facility. There's approximately 10 lots that would be east of the existing facility out there that will be basically a commercial slash industrial park environment. And obviously, we want to see economic development and growth, not only in Columbia City, but in the area, especially since we service that area with our two of our three utilities. So the city will be has committed to partnering in the way of wholesale purchasing for all the sewer and water main installation, the materials, and that'll be a pass through. We'll just purchase it and then get reimbursed from the County Redevelopment Commission. Mike Deere and the Water Department will be doing all the water main installation, and that'll be the public water main, not any of the service lines that are connecting the facilities. And then Kelly Searbaugh and his crew will be doing inspection services as part of our in-kind for this project. And it really is, it's an exciting project to see happen. You know, I think that if you look, we just got done with a, $40 million hospital project, and that was in town here. But this is a substantial investment in the community, and along with it comes really great potential for additional commercial growth out in that area. I think that between the city and the county and the EDC, all of us partnering together, it stages us in a very favorable way. It's high visibility, and when if you look at the development plan for these for this new building, it's one of three in the nation that's in this type of format, and it's sharp looking. I mean, it's going to be a very attractive facility. So something that as people drive by on 30 will definitely recognize and remember.
And just to add on to that, the main goal of this is the future economic development of the not only that property but the properties east of there, of course, is, as we all know, by gaining additional customers to our utility base, we can continue to spread out the cost and so on and so forth. And so this is to that end. And it should be noted that I know the investors of that project really are very very in tune with the community, first of all, but furthermore that they place an emphasis on keeping that Columbia City sign there. That's been a very big point of emphasis from them. So unless something's changed. So.
No, but since you brought that up,
yeah,
I basically committed the city that that's our sign now because nobody else wants it.
Okay.
And it's a darn neat looking sign. So,
okay.
They want it there. They actually want to be able to position stage vehicles near there. Because it's a nice, attractive point of interest. So, yeah.
Okay.
But that was, for those of you who don't know, real briefly, the Columbia City signs at both ends of our corridor was a public-private partnership with the Chamber of Commerce, Columbia City Chamber of Commerce, many years ago. And they spearheaded the whole thing. Now, they're not so much, you know, for that kind of stuff. They're, first of all, with the county, and they're kind of going a different direction. And so I think that by default, we are Columbia City anyway, so I think that we're probably going to be maintaining what maintenance will need to be done.
Great. Thank you, Jeff. Other questions, Jeff?
No.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Mike?
I want to give thanks to Tom. Last week, got a hold of him, and he allowed his guys to bring an aerial truck out, and they sent the ladder out and took two of my guys up to the top of our digester, which is the big, a lot of people call it bubble, our gas dome, and they took some pictures and done an inspection on the top of that, looking at the fittings and the bolts and the hoses. UV bulbs have been cleaned, inspected, installed today. They were fired up to make sure that they all lit. And then shut the system down, and we will start that up next week and run that for about a week and a half and do water samples on to make sure everything is in line to where it should be and that everything is running. We won't have to make any adjustments to it. The keypad on our front gate opener was beeping, so we could not get into it because we do not have a key. Contacted the company, and it says that we wouldn't need a key because if it's beeping, it's about ready to die. So they're coming out tomorrow. We may have to have that replaced if it cannot be repaired. Our tractors are ready to go for mowing this year. I've been decanting water off our sludge storage tank out front. I participated in a webinar today, which was free. I got some contact hours for my license at no cost. And then also I was contacted by Indian Springs Middle School, who will be providing tour to the 8th grade, the entire 8th grade, which we did last year, and we will do that again this year. It'll be a few more students. Last year we had about 300 students come through the facility. And I've also got a Boy Scout troop from Albion that is interested in a tour. And as I mentioned earlier, I'll be scheduling a tour for council and anybody else that wants to come out. That will be few weeks yet, but we'll get that taken care of. And that's all I have.
additional questions of Mike? Thanks, Mike. Mark.
Short. All right. Short. As everybody knows, with this weather, I mean, the park really opens up, and now everybody's there, and people are walking their dogs, riding cars, just really busy. So we're on our toes a lot with trash, and getting fields ready. We drove the fields tonight. I'm kind of hoping that maybe softball will have their practice down there and can be better for them. But I want to thank the police this weekend. We turned our water on Friday to get our bathrooms ready and thought we didn't have any leaks, thought everything was good. That wasn't the case. We had a leak in our ceiling and concession stand, couldn't see. And throughout Saturday morning came, our ceiling had fallen in, and they let us know that something wasn't right, judging by looking at the camera. So one of my employees went down there and stopped the water. Could have been a lot worse, could have kept going all weekend. But I just want to thank dispatch and police for letting us know about that. So we've got to fix our ceiling. Softball registration ends this Saturday. We have registration at 2:00 in our pavilion. And then there will be an opportunity to still register maybe a week or so after that for softball, but there will be a late fee. Baseball has evaluations this Saturday in the afternoon. So we'll be busy down there this Saturday. Should be nice weather. And I wanted to kind of let everybody know what's going on with the pool. The park board decided to have an engineering firm come in, HWC, come in and look at the pool. They're going to evaluate it and see what it would cost to, how much it would cost to get our pool operating that would last another 10 years. And we'll have those figures, and the park board will then be able to use that for whatever decisions they make. But the pool definitely is going to be open this summer. That's the plan, just in case anybody heard anything, or sometimes I hear people are saying things, and that's not true. We're not going to close. We're going to keep open this summer and decide later what we're going to do for upcoming years. Tomorrow morning at 10, we'll meet with NDOT. We'll talk about the US 30 bridge that goes over the road at Moultrie's Park. In 2014, they'll be raising that a foot, that bridge is bad, so they need to replace it. There's also rumors going around about that they're going to do that this summer. That's not true. It's 2014. So just wanted to make sure that was out in the open, that everybody knew that. Although we're talking about it, it's 2 years away. Started advertising the rebidding of the trail and bridge project for our new bridge over the Blue River and the trail this week. And we have a pre-bid meeting for that next week. So that'll be happening again. And then did get 90 applications for a new position, and I haven't contacted anybody yet. I'm not going to do that till next week about interviews. So that's all I have.
Questions to Mark.
Mark, is there any future plans or of improvement or use of Baker's Park? Or
Baker's Park's been a topic of what we're going to do with future park usage. That's something we're discussing. Right now, some of the smaller parks, but in the back of their mind, Baker's a topic of discussion. They're not really satisfied with how it's used. That answers your question. So looking at other options for that.
Open to suggestions, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely.
And filling it in is not a suggestion, by the way.
It's not.
Just to be clear, is it sewer line? Sewer line that goes through there, it would be very, very difficult and impossible, I think, to...
doesn't seem to be used for
anything good.
Anything good. Yes, that's
pretty good. I agree.
That's true. Other questions or comments? Mark? No? No? Have we got the lights turned on at DeMolt?
Yes.
Okay. You told me that you had already done that.
The timer was off 2 hours.
Okay, that's right.
Part of that's through time changes.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, it was last week when it was moderately warm. My wife and I went down and played tennis, and it was there was a couple other families down there too. So.
Those lights shut off at 10:00. Come on at 6:00. You can turn them off and on from 6:00 to 10:00.
Okay.
But 10:00, they shut off on that.
Very good. Okay. Marcia.
I have nothing.
Really? Okay. Jackie.
Good.
I do have one thing. I've asked the department heads to cut back on their vehicle usage, especially in light of $4 gasoline cost. Cut back on to and from work and during work-related issues or during work hours. So I've asked them to do that, and you know, we all have to start making, I guess, some sacrifices in regards to prices of gas, and who knows where the summer is going to go. We may have to go more strict if gas prices climb to $4.50 or $5. So, but in the meantime, we have kind of put some restrictions on vehicle use for the department heads. So that's all I have.
I've got a couple things in the mail regarding the redistricting.
Okay.
When do we start on that, or who's in charge of that? Or
Dan and I kind of worked on it a little bit, but I don't, where's the county at? Have they done?
As far as I know, everything's staying predominantly the same.
Yes, yeah, so that's why I'm not sure we're going to have to do
it. The only thing that changed was county related as far as county council. Basically, the current representative for the Columbia City area is basically going to be just Columbia City. The Northwest precinct got moved into another district. But as far as the city is concerned, the population didn't warrant a change at this time, as far as we can tell.
And so what happened basically was that we got the figures in prior to 2012, and so the work was done mainly in 2011 for that.
Okay. So the county council representative for Columbia City will represent just Columbia City?
Basically, yeah. Is that, who is it currently?
That would be Mr.
Lover. Mr. Lover, okay, thank you. Okay, anything else to say? Okay, Nicole. No, Bill. Nothing. Okay. Anybody from the audience or press? Yes.
Do you want people to call your office about the LIM thing if they have questions?
About the what?
LIM.
They will anyway. they can call the MSF if someone's out there. 248-5115.
And I'll refer them to you.
No, we'll get their questions answered.
Actually, they should call the mayor's office. One of our offices will get
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, if there's nothing else, I'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.